skills, they're not ones where you say, oh, leadership, what are the three things I need to know to lead? Or what's the formula for communicating? It is about trying, experiencing, doing, and then reflecting and learning.
Hey, welcome to the Business of Sales. I'm your host, Morris Sims. I have over 35 years training sales professionals who are actually business owners. And now, hey, I'm focused on helping those business owners run their businesses more effectively and efficiently in today's very fast-paced, ever-changing world. So on this show, we're going to interview some great business leaders and give you practical ideas that you can use today. So, hey, stick with us, please. We've got great things coming out, and it's going to happen right now. Welcome to the Business of Sales. My name is Morris Sims, and we've got a great guest for you today. His name is Mark Hirschberg. Let me bring Mark in here real quick, because I tell you what, Mark is a neat guy. He's written some books, and he's written a really good book that we'll talk about later, and he's an instructor at MIT. So, Mark, thanks for being with us today on the Business of Sales.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Without me trying to recount your experience and your history and what you do, briefly tell us who you are and what you're about, my friend.
Sure. I have this interesting dual career. I came out of MIT as an undergrad and grad student back during the dot-com era, and I went down a path in technology. I started as a software developer and then quickly started leading teams. And I've been at companies from tiny startups to Fortune 500s, 3 to 300,000 people. These days, I work primarily as a fractional CTO, CPO, Chief Technology Officer, Chief Product Officer.
Oh, thank you very much. I know there are people out there that want to CT what? So, yeah, thank you.
We're engineers. We know our acronyms. We know others don't. And so it's always important to define our acronyms.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
But I've had a parallel career because along the way, I realized that there was something missing in my education. Yes, I could solve differential equations, but they never taught me leadership, communication, team building, networking, negotiating, all these skills we keep hearing about, but no one stops to teach you. I began to develop in myself, quickly realized I wanted to develop this not just for me, but for my entire team. And as I was doing that, MIT was getting similar feedback from companies saying, we can't find these skills, not just in your students, not just engineers, not just students overall, but everyone we hire, we can't find this. So at MIT, we put together a course referred to colloquially as the Career Success Accelerator. I helped to create that course. I've been teaching there for over 20 years. And so now, in addition to my work building tech companies, I've also been very busy speaking. I have the book and the app and a whole bunch of other things related to professional development.
That's outstanding. And as a former executive in a Fortune 100 or 50, I guess now, company, I felt the same way. I felt the same way. We created a series of workshops for our brand new employees in our area to try and help them with some of those basic things, because we found also that it was not being taught in colleges and universities. Rather, they were all focused on the technology, whatever that might happen to have been at the time, with marketing or engineering. There's technology involved, and that's what they all came to us with. And it's refreshing to hear what you've got to say. Tell us more about your course.
The course we created targeted for sophomores. Now we are expanding it. We have sister programs that are for juniors and seniors, one for freshmen. We're expanding to grad students this year. But the course, it's really a hands-on course. It's not a lecture-based class, because these skills, they're not ones where you say, oh, leadership, what are the three things I need to know to lead? Or what's the formula for communicating? It is about trying, experiencing, doing, and then reflecting and learning. I liken learning these skills to learning a sport. I can teach you the rules of basketball. You can figure that out in about 30 minutes. But if you want to actually play basketball well, that's where you have to try. You have to do drills and scrimmage and practice. And that's what this course does. So it's very interactive. And we put the students in situations where it's not just do the math and get the right answer, but it's how you interact with your peers or how you think about things or how you lead. And often they fail. We design it so they will fail quite a bit, but they fail not because they got the math wrong. They can usually get that right, but because they didn't take into account other things. And so that's where you get the real learning.
It's amazing to me. It's the analogy I use is when your 15-year-old goes in and takes the driver's exam and they learn everything they need to know about the rules of the road and the law in their particular state. And they come out and they get in the car. They're all excited. And they say the one thing that every kid who gets his driver's license permit says, gee, Dad, can I drive home? At which point in time, Dad normally says, hell no. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to let you drive home. Because you've never had the experience of actually putting your foot on the brake and putting your foot on the accelerator and actually turning the wheel. And until you get that kind of experience, it doesn't matter what you may know. You haven't got the practical skill yet to be able to do it. So, hey, I'm with you, brother. That sounds like a wonderful thing to do. Where do you start with that, Corey? Where do you start with a young person or an older person who needs those kinds of skills? What do you think's the first step for them?
I just want to know, it's funny you give that driving analogy because I give it as something that we all do wrong. When you hear this, you say, oh my God, this makes so much sense, but you've been doing it all the time. You would not toss the keys to the 16-year-old.
Right.
You know, says, I know, that's the steering wheel, there's brake, there's gas.
Yeah, I've been watching you do it all my life, Dad. Of course, it's easy.
And yet, how often do we say, Morris, welcome to the company, hired you for the team. You've been here 2 weeks. Listen, we've got some candidates coming in. Why don't you go interview them? You've been interviewed before. Yeah, I remember you were in an interview with me. So you're good to interview. People are most important asset. I'm going to take you. I've never seen you interview, but I'm pretty sure you've seen it done. Please go interview our candidates. This is what we do. And we say this is insane with a 16-year-old, but this is what we do with our employees. We assume you know what you're doing, and most people don't.
Well, you've got that degree. You've got that piece of paper, Mark. You must know what you're doing. Don't you know everything now?
And this is what the degree, remember the degree, yours in chemical engineering, mine in physics and ECS, it's not saying you are a good employee. It's not saying you know everything you need to be an employee. It's not even saying you're good at this particular field. It just says you've acquired this level of knowledge. That's all the degree really says, but we ascribe so much more value to it.
Yeah, we really, really do. I'm famous nowadays for telling young folks, when they're all concerned about, you know, what should I do? What should my major be? What should I be this or that? Hey, guys, a bachelor's degree is a ticket into the game. Once you have a ticket into the game, then you need to worry about exactly where you want to play and what position you want to play. But until you get into the game, it really doesn't matter. And that's kind of the way I look at it.
I'm sorry. Now that I distracted us, I missed what your question was, or I lost it. So let's go back to what that was.
I'm just thinking about where do you begin? Where do you begin? It's usually the starting point is usually the hardest thing. You know, the journey starts with the first step, all that kind of good stuff. Where do you start with someone who needs the help and the skills that you provide?
It's first recognizing the value, because if people don't think it's valuable, they're not going to commit to. And this is why with our students, we have them fail. Because our students are pretty smart. They're used to succeeding. And when suddenly they get it wrong, that's very unusual for someone who goes to MIT. That's what wakes them up. And I'm going to give you a basic motivation here. So you, if you're, I know leadership's important, but let me emphasize how important this is. I'm going to pick negotiations as the example, because we can do the math with it. But we're going to expand from this. So imagine you're 25 years old and you've learned to negotiate. Maybe you read the chapter in my book, you read some other book on negotiating, you took an online course, however you do it, you learned and got a little bit better. You're not ready to solve global peace. That's okay. You're just a little bit better than you were before you learned this. You've got a job offer for $60,000. You're 25 years old, job offer for $60,000. But instead of taking the job as it is, You say, I'm going to use my negotiation skills, and you negotiate for $1,000 more, $60,000 to $61,000. We can all imagine doing that. If you do nothing else in your career, you just spend 5-10 minutes negotiating this one offer, and you stay in that job for 40 years, you have just earned yourself $1,000 for 40 years. You just got $40,000. 5 minutes of work, you read a book once, 5 minutes of work, $40,000. That is massive ROI. But of course, you're saying, wait a second, I'm not staying in a job for 40 years. You will have raises and promotions, and you will negotiate those for more than $1,000. You might be a business owner and you negotiate contracts, partnerships. You might be in sales and you negotiate things. In fact, we negotiate all the time with coworkers, with our spouses, with our children. It's not about money always, but it's about successful outcomes. So we know with negotiating, if you learn to negotiate, if you get just a little bit better, you can literally add tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars to your lifetime earning. Now, it's easy to do the math with negotiations, but this applies to everything. It applies to our leadership and communication skills, our network. It's not that someone says, you're a slightly better leader, here's $1,000 more, or you're a better networker, here's a little more money. But being a better leader helps us stand out, helps us be recognized, helps us get the promotion. Being a better networker helps us to find more opportunities for jobs, for customers, for whatever it is we need. The math isn't quite so easy, but it works out the same. So getting just a little bit better at any or even all of these skills can give us incredible success financially, easily six figures, but there's more to life than just money. So investing in these skills has a massive compounding ROI.
And that ROI extends to my personal life as well. When I know how to, I've always said that we're all in sales, and probably the best salesperson in the world is the mom of a toddler. And, you know, I mean, I see my daughter doing it today. She can sell my grandson on doing things and on behaving in certain ways that, you know, I'm old school. I would have said, shut up and sit down and quit that. And, you know, it didn't work back in the 70s when I tried to do it, and it certainly doesn't work today, Mark. It's just not going to happen. But she knows how to do that. She knows how to do that. My wife's even better than that. But we're all in sales in some way, shape, form, or fashion, in negotiation, sales. We're kind of the same thing. The fact is we have to influence other people, right?
Absolutely. These days I do sell to customers sometimes, but even when I wasn't doing that, I am selling my idea to my colleagues, to people on my team, to my manager, to leaders of other departments. And so it's not just about getting the right answer. This is very different from college, because your professor said, here's a problem. You and I in engineering, we used to get these problem sets and they'd say, here's the question and write your answer in this box, maybe show your work. If you were in English, they might say, we're going to ask you to evaluate this Shakespeare play. Put your answer in the form of a 10-page essay. You knew what to do. You knew how to do it. And that's just the quality of your work. But in the real world, no one says, your boss doesn't say, here's a sheet, write your answer at the bottom and sign your name.
And show your work. So,
yeah, it's making sure you're doing the right question and then not just getting the right answer, but conveying it and selling it the right way. Now, to your question, we said the first part is about making sure you're motivated and understand why this is important. The next thing is to remember, this is not one and done. And this is something else companies really screw up. How often do companies say, we're promoting you, you're going to be a new manager, we're going to send you to this 3-day training program, it's our new manager training, welcome back, congratulations, you are now ready to be a manager. Again, to use a sports analogy, hey, welcome to our high school basketball team. Welcome, you're on the team. For the next 3 days, we're going to do some intensive training. You're going to learn all about basketball. Okay, done. You're ready for the rest of the season. You're good to go. These skills are ones we need to continually practice and learn from.
What you just described, Mark, is what I call baptismal training, where you think all you got to do is just dunk them in the water and everything is going to be okay. So I'm going to dunk them in the water for a 3-day workshop And then when they're going to come out, they're going to go out and be able to do whatever it is that they were baptized to go do. The problem is, you dry off. You dry off. You're not going to get religion just by getting baptized one time. You still got to go to church every Sunday. And I think that's the same thing here. If we're not constantly learning, if we're not constantly working on improving those skills, technology, the world, the people around us are going to catch up and surpass us in a heartbeat.
Yes, indeed. Very well said. Now, here's the good news. It's not as hard as you might think to get that regular engagement. Now, certainly there is something, getting that baptism, getting that initial training, that's fine. We do send our athletes to a basketball clinic. Great, some intensive learning. But we're also going to do that weekly training. And that's what we want to do with our career skills. So it's okay to go to that 3-day workshop. It's okay to read a book, do a webinar, get the intensive part. But you want to set up a regular learning cadence. And here's the thing. It's great to have a coach, a mentor. Fantastic. But even if you can't do that, if you're a business owner and you want to upskill all your employees, you might not be able to afford a coach for all of them. But you can create a peer learning program. And this is key. And this is how we teach at MIT. This is how top business schools teach. When you hear business schools, they do the case method and the students are talking back and forth about how they'd solve it. They're learning from each other. They have the professor guiding it. A lot of the learning comes from peers and trying to do the work together. So you can set up an internal training peer learning program completely free. And by the way, on my website, we've got a free download for this. I don't even ask for your email because I've got nothing to sell. We just give it to you because I want you to implement this and be successful at your company. You create a group of people. I recommend about 6 to 8 people, but there's ways to scale it up. Create this group, engage with some content. Use a book. And if you want to use my book, there's a way to break it down. If you don't want to use my book, use another book. Use articles. Use a great podcast like this one. And each cycle you listen to a different episode. But then you come together to discuss what you've learned. Because if the topic is leadership, and we all listen to an episode on leadership, we then discuss and say, well, here's what I took from it. Oh, you took something else. That's interesting. That might expand how I think about it. Maybe I want to incorporate your approach. Maybe it's not right for me, but even just knowing you have a different approach, you think of it differently, that's helpful for me because I'm going to be dealing with people like you who see it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's in that discussion, that's where we really do the learning. And imagine if you set aside an hour a month, an hour twice a month, that's it. That's the commitment. But that's what keeps that regular training and that continual upskilling.
Yeah, I used to do lunch and learns. Every other week or something. I forget what the cadence was, but we'd do a lunch and learn. Everybody would go down to the cafeteria, grab lunch, bring it back up to the conference room, and we would sit and talk about a chapter in a book. And
that easy.
I never knew whether or not we were really making a big difference or not, but I knew that everybody was engaged and they were thinking. And that means that they were practicing that skill that we tend to sometimes overlook, thinking, and thinking on purpose. You know, we're all thinking. We're thinking all the time, Mark, but I've come to realize that I had to teach people how to stop and think on purpose about a particular topic, because just thinking is good. And I mean, was it Watson at IBM who's coined the motto for IBM? Think. Yeah, well, okay, that's great, but you best be doing it on purpose, because if you're not, you could be all over the place. So, yeah, I mean, they're always expanding that thinking muscle if you've got them engaged in a conversation about something.
Absolutely right. And if you think about it, again, to extend the sports analogy, I can't go to my team and say, I'm going to try something new. And if I screw it up 2 days later, I say, timeout, do over. That doesn't count. This is real life. There is no do over. But when we're in this group, I can say, I have a challenge. Here's what I'm thinking about. And people say, well, here's the risk, or I tried something similar. Now, by the way, at a big company, it's easy when there's thousands of people and you're with your coworkers, but from different groups. is you say, here's the challenge I face. If you're in a smaller company, you might say, well, I can't do that with a team of 12, because when I say I have a challenge here, everyone knows what the challenge is. So if you're at a smaller organization, find peer organizations, find others. If you're a business owner, you no doubt know other small business owners. If you're a solo practitioner, you surely have a network of other solo practitioners. Even if you're on your own, you don't run a business, and you say, well, my boss doesn't want to do this, go create a local meetup group or set up something through your church or other just community and get people from different companies to come together. Because you don't want, even a big company, you don't want all your engineers in one group and all your salespeople in another. You want diversity of opinion. So it's great to come across multiple companies, because then you get even more diversity in your opinion. Obviously, you want to get diversity with gender and other things as well, but you want just different backgrounds, different functional areas, different industries, if possible. And this is what's going to bring in those perspectives that really get you to think and learn.
Oh, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Mark, I've got one more real question for you that I'd love to get your opinion on. When we look at all those practical skills that folks need to be successful in the business world today, you know, leadership, negotiation, dealing with difficult people, networking within an organization and outside of the organization, being able to organize yourself and people around you, being able to lead a small team, all those different things that you and I can list for probably the next 30 minutes. What do you think is the most important piece? It may not be where we start, but where do you get to that piece or two that you find to be really absolutely critical to the development of a young person in business today?
It's hard to pick one. And to continue with the sports analogy, what makes a great basketball player? Is it that they're a high scorer? Are they a good rebounder? Do they have great court sense? Are they a good team player? When you think about the top players, they don't all look alike. You don't just say, well, let's line them up by the most points per game. That's one metric, but there's different ways to be great. And so for any one person, it's not, well, you excel in this area. You have some combination of skills that works for you and the needs on the path you have chosen. So I'm not going to say, well, you have to learn this skill versus that, but you do have to be intentional. And the first chapter in the book, it's about career planning. If you think about, here's another thing we screw up. You would never tackle a year-long project without a plan. If your boss says, here's a really critical project, half of the company's revenues depend on it, here you go, you're in charge, here's where you need to be in a year. You'd never say, okay, well, you know, I'll see you in 12 months, we'll put it on the calendar, cross your fingers, let's hope we get there. Say, no, you need a plan. What's happening? Where do you need to be in 3 months and 6 months? Let's do some check-ins. Let's revise the plan, because we know whatever we put down on paper day one, not how it's going to turn out. And that's okay. But when it comes to our careers, 100% of our income, how often do we say, well, I hope in 10 years I wind up as a VP, cross my fingers, go. We want to do the same type of planning. And so you want to understand, where are you going? Now, to get there, there's probably some skills and experience you don't have. There's a gap. Just like to complete the project, you need to have things done that aren't done day one. How do you plan out what you're doing each period? Same thing with our career. So to get to that role you want, you might need to develop your leadership skills or your negotiation skills or your communication. You might need all of them. Don't do all at once. Lay them out. I'm going to first focus on leadership for the next year and a half. And then the next 2 years, I'm going to work on my negotiation skills. And that's what you want to do. Just be intentional and plan. And that underpins all the development you're going to do.
And if you don't have a plan, you don't have a place to start. And you don't have a place to begin to make adjustments as you go forward. You know, wasn't it Eisenhower that said, plans are useless, but the planning process is essential. And I love that quote.
And what trips people up, because they think, wait, my plan, it's not going to work. What am I supposed to be doing on year 7? I don't know.
Got no idea.
But if you go by this 1 year project, okay, it's day one. What are you doing day 283? I don't know. But you have some placeholders. You know, well, by that day, we should be roughly here. I don't know all the details, but high level, here's where I'm trying to get to. The next 30 days, it should be pretty clear what you're doing. It's clearer earlier, fuzzier later, and you revise and refine as you go. And that's what we're going to do with our career plan. You should know the development you're doing the next 6-12 months. But you're doing year 7 or 8? Well, I'll tackle this topic. I don't know how, but it's on my roadmap, and maybe I'll switch it up. Yeah. And that's okay. We'll revise the plan as we go. Eisenhower, spot on.
Yeah, I mean, the situation's the boss. 5 years from now, you may need to have some other top priority in your need for skill that you don't even know exists today. So, yeah, but you can have a plan for moving forward. Then you can tweak it and you can do something with it. Mark, this has been great. Tell us real quickly about your app and your book and what we can do to learn more from you going forward.
So I've got two great tools. The first is the book. The careertoolkitbook.com is the website. And that you can see where to buy the book, Amazon, other places. It has 10 skills, 10 chapters, networking, negotiating, leadership, career planning. These are all skills. You can read the chapters in any order. You can buy the book and say, I want to learn to be a better networker. Jump right to chapter 8. It's a toolkit. Pick up the tool that you need when you need it. And so that's the Career Toolkit. The careertoolkitbook.com, you can see where to buy it. There's also a whole bunch of free resources on that website on the resources page. I mentioned the tool for developing the skills in your organization. Completely free downloads. They're for you to use. I have lots of other resources linked on that page. Now, I also have an app, the Brain Bump app. Brain Bump, completely free on Android and iPhone. And this is because where you read information isn't where you need information. When you read a book like mine, say, okay, great networking tips, but then you might forget before you go off to that conference 2 months from now. What if, as you're about to walk into the conference, you can pull up your phone and instantly in seconds, pull up the networking tips right when and where you need them? All the great ideas we talked about in this episode or other episodes say, this is great, but unfortunately they quickly fade from our memory. And so Brain Bump, it's a cross between a flashcard app and a daily affirmation app. So it takes the key ideas, think of something you might highlight in the book, it's a few sentences in length, and you've got them as these tip cards tagged by topic. So you can get those networking tips or whatever you need. But also, who wants to have to open an app all the time? You can set it up as a daily reminder. Let's say at 9 a.m., you get a leadership tip. It's whenever you said. We don't send you things you don't want. If you don't want to get that, you turn it off. Imagine 9 a.m. each day. You don't have to open the app. You just get a little leadership tip. It's like a daily affirmation, but with useful advice from books, blogs, podcasts, and other sources. Go, what a great idea. Yep, good to remember that. Swipe, done. 2 seconds a day. It helps keep these ideas top of mind, so you better remember them and make use of them. Brain Bump is completely free. We have an ever-growing set of content. And in the 2.0 version, we're recording this in the summer of 2023. At the end of the summer, we're putting out the 2.0 version. If we don't yet have the book and podcast you want, because there's so many out there, we may not have it yet. You can add your own content. You can add it manually. You can take your Kindle highlights and upload those. And this is a tool that's going to let you access the information you need when and where you need it and better retain it. And it's completely free. So brainbumpapp.com, or just look for it in the app stores. But if you go to brainbumpapp.com, you can follow the links. You can see a 90-second video explaining how to use it.
Boy, that's cool. Mark, that just sounds so practical, so useful, right on the top of everything. I can't wait to get into Brain Bump. That sounds like a real blast. Thank you so much for being here with us today on The Business of Sales.
Thank you again for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Oh, man. Thank you. It's been a great time. Look, everybody else out there, y'all go make it a great week. Have a good time. Enjoy life. Do what you love to do and have a good time doing it. And we'll see you again next time right here on The Business of Sales.